This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man.
You would tell me, son, what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window. What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that I went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
All right. Glad you stopped. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here for PFW in Progress on a Friday as we get ready for the Detroit Lions. And I don't know, was anyone listening to EEI this morning around 7:15 this morning?
I wasn't up at 7:15.
A lot of talk about Patriots Football Weekly.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they say?
A lot of shout-outs to how good we are. And basically the reason why they brought it up was they were looking for reasons to watch the Detroit Lions game this Sunday. And they read our scout. The music's still playing down. Okay, it goes off. Okay. And so they were reading from our, quoting our scouting report. And I guess in the special teams, we gave the edge to the Lions. That was like the only thing that we gave to them. And but all kinds of good words that, you know, it's a must read. It's something that they get around Wednesday or Thursday, and they always read it to get all the scouting. And
unless
all that
they're
stuff.
In Iowa.
You know, so
so someone's reading what I write.
That's
good to know.
They're reading it online, you know, over the air, word for word. It was good. It's good stuff. And then after he called it Patriots Football Weekly, he proceeded to call it Patriots Pro Football Weekly.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Right. Well, at least it wasn't that bad. But it was interesting. I, you know, a lot of talk about it. Anyway.
Well, that's good.
That's what we are, PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Bill Belichick had his Friday press conference today, Tom. Anything?
Nope.
Any news? Nothing? He was very long-winded yesterday.
Yeah, awful.
Awful.
Yesterday was a real bad one.
Who was asking most of the questions?
Who do you think?
Really?
Yeah.
He still hasn't gotten it?
Nope.
Wow. Even after Paul browbeat him? No?
No, today wasn't that bad. I mean, he asked a couple of decent questions. It wasn't that bad today, but nothing, you know, nothing of major importance.
PFW and friends, huh?
Yeah. A lot of people.
Not really. There's a guy from USA Today that's never really there who was asking some questions.
Oh, yeah?
But, you know, just your basic him going over football.
What about the locker room? Empty? Crowded?
You know the locker room's not till 1:30.
Oh, it's 1:30 today. Okay, that's right. All right, so...
And I'll tell you that it's empty.
Such an idiot!
I don't have to go there, but it's empty.
It's pretty quiet up here at Gillette Stadium. The weather is raining. Overcast. It was warm as heck last night and this morning, but you can tell it's starting to get a little chilly.
This is the week.
Yeah, the wind's starting to blow in, and I think by game time it'll be mid-40s.
I think it's going to be colder than that, isn't it?
Well, at 1 o'clock, that's what I heard
yesterday.
Or is
it Monday? Is it start the real cold?
Maybe, I don't know.
It's going to get down in the 30s next week, I know that.
But for the game, I'm hearing mid-40s. Well, you know, people that are going to the game care.
Well...
They don't all get to sit in a cushy press box.
They shouldn't
like
be going
you.
To this game.
Why not?
It's boring.
No, the good fans go to every game, Tom. Nah. That's what we preach. Well, you never know. I mean, maybe this is a game where Maroney has 200 yards, and if you weren't there, you'd miss it.
Well, I'll be up in the press box sleeping, so I'll miss it.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. Every game's exciting for me.
This is the one game where I have no interest because they've already, you know, they've already dismantled the three teams that are better than the Lions in their division. This is at home. It's just, I mean, if there's one game you could pick on the schedule and they have no chance of losing, this would be the one.
Probably. Word out of Detroit is Matt Millen will either be fired or step down once the season's over.
But that word out of Detroit
I'll believe it when I see it.
Years ago.
I'll believe it when I see it. I put that right up there with Bud Selig announcing that he'll step down when his contract's out in 2009.
After he drafts a wide receiver from Georgia Tech.
You know, where have we heard that one before? So, but Detroit really needs to do something up there and probably starts with the Ford selling the team to someone who knows what they're doing.
I mean, they don't have much talent. Bill talks about how much talent they have. They don't.
Yeah.
They have a couple of good players. Two of them haven't been playing, Sean Rogers and James Hall on the defensive line. Hall's out for the year. Rogers had the suspension, now the knee injury. They're not good. You know, they're not good.
Oh, we got a bunch of emails. We'll get to them. We're here until 2. Is Felger coming by in the second hour, Gary, do you think? Yeah. We have food coming down as well, which is much more important.
Which we'll be taking a break for.
Did you watch the NFL Network game last night?
Yes.
The Ravens and the...
Here's what happened, Fred.
What?
I'm sitting there, right? I'm watching Earl in the office, and I'm flipping back to the Ohio game, and I'm like, there's something else I'm supposed to be watching. So I don't go up,
again.
I don't go up to 265, you know, and so I go through my channel thing, and I'm like, damn, I guess it must not be tonight. So I'm watching the Ohio game at halftime. They say, well, in the NFL, they're approaching halftime, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I watched the second half. I totally forgot about the first half.
Well, I turned it on at about 7:40. You know, and they're doing the pregame show, which is like the most boring pregame show I've ever seen. But Rich Eisen says, well, as part of this 3-hour pregame show, their pregame show was 3 hours for that game? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
If that's true, I mean, he might have been kidding because you never know with him. But
yeah,
3-hour pregame show for a Thursday night Ravens, Bengals? I couldn't believe it. Anyway, very boring pregame show. But I have to say, after really killing Bryant Gumbel last week, he did better this week.
He still wasn't good, though, and I'll give you a couple of examples.
All right.
Right before the half, it was 3rd and 1. McNair threw an incomplete pass, so it was 4th and 1 with 12 seconds to go. You got to kick the field goal. So he goes, do you take another shot at the end zone? No, because it's 4th down. So, again, he didn't understand. And then one I knew he was going to get wrong. At the end of the game, they punt. The punt is muffed. You can't advance it. Every human being in the world knows you can't advance a muff. The guy picks it up, runs it into the end zone, and I said to myself, he's going to call it a touchdown. And he goes, touchdown Bengals.
Right.
You can't. I mean,
but somebody must have got, because I heard him say after, that was a muff. You can't advance that.
Right. Someone's telling him his mistakes.
Right.
But I still... It's not for me, Fred. He's not for me.
Well,
I don't think he's going to get any better because I don't think he's a play-by-play guy.
I thought he was better. I don't like his sound.
No,
it's
he goes
too high-pitched.
Touchdown, Bengals.
Yeah, he's too high-pitched. He's not
made for that.
Yeah, no,
he's
he is
made for it.
He's a studio guy.
Right, studio. He's fine.
Yeah. So, I think he was a heck of a lot better than the first
one. Well, I don't know if he could get any worse.
Right,
than
right. There was only one place to go, and that was up from that first game. I thought the production value was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
They moved the down and distance and all that stuff a little bit higher in the screen, so it didn't take up as much space. So I guess I wasn't the only one that complained about that. Otherwise, you know, it was an okay broadcast. Nothing special, but...
Yeah.
It was okay. At least they're not bringing people in the booth and all that crap.
No, I'll give them credit for that. You could. I don't like Gumbel because I don't think he's good at that, and that's one thing. But at least they call the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? They focus on the game. They talk about the two teams in the game.
Right.
You know, ESPN, even when they have a game, they're too busy promoting the college football game next week, this on ABC, this over here,
where we got
this Thursday night. Hey, you got a game going on right now. How about you talk about that?
No, so that is a good plus of watching it on the network is you only get the game. There's no insipid sideline reporters telling you about some conversation they had on Wednesday.
Right. They're doing it right. It's just, if they had a better play-by-play guy, I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah, and I like Collingsworth.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
A good analyst.
He's all right.
He's all right. So they're working on it, making some progress, but Gumbel's got, he's got tough pipes. You know?
That's the thing. He doesn't sound well.
Yeah.
It's not his bag.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com is email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. What else before we get into any
what do you
emails?
Think about, I mean, the Bengals are a possible opponent.
Oh, we didn't talk about the game, of course.
I mean, when you look at the standings, if the Patriots lose one more game, they're out. They cannot possibly get home field advantage because they don't own the tiebreaker with anybody.
They're out as far as a bye.
As a bye.
Right.
Because they already have three losses in the conference. One more would obviously be in the conference figuring they're going to beat Detroit. So if they lose one more game, the bye's gone because they can't possibly, unless one of those teams just totally collapses.
Right.
Because
one of those teams
would have
being
to lose,
the Ravens,
but
San
one
Diego.
Of those teams would have to lose five games because if the Patriots end up 12-4, they'll lose the tiebreaker with any one of those teams. So one more loss, they're out. So figuring the bye is probably a long shot. The Bengals are a possibility in the playoffs, and I don't know what's going on because they came within 1 minute from pitching two straight shutouts, and this was the worst defense I had ever seen.
Yeah.
And they made a point on the show, on the broadcast, that they played a lot of young players early in the year, and they're getting better. And I know one thing that's better. Carson Palmer is much – his knee was still bothering him early in the year. He's much better now. So while I think the Patriots still are too tough for the Bengals, it'd be an interesting matchup because the Bengals have the one thing the Patriots you can do to the Patriots, they can throw it.
Yeah.
You know, they have two good wide receivers like the Colts and if Palmer's on. So I think that would be an interesting first round matchup in the playoffs.
Well, one thing, you know, Baltimore, they were really allowing Hushmanzada and Johnson the underneath pass.
They were trying to take away the big play.
Yeah, and they were and
that's
you know,
not how they play.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be playing ways they don't play. Figures, you know, leave it to a Ryan to talk tough during the week, then come out like a pansy.
Right. I mean, they couldn't get any, you know, they got some pressure on Palmer, but not a lot. And credit Cincinnati's offensive line and backs for picking up, you know, when they did send extra men, they were picking it up pretty well. Neither running game was that great.
No.
It was just that Palmer was able to, you know, connect on a few passes when he needed to. And Steve McNair just did not look, I mean, and the slightest pressure, McNair, and it was just throwing his accuracy way off. Now, I don't know if it was raining pretty hard during the game.
He
wasn't on at all. You know, the only plays McNair really made were with his legs, and even then he came up short a couple times by sliding before first downs and things like that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know who the Ravens are. I really don't.
Yeah, but now it's one of these things where I'm looking at the Bengals, and I'm saying to myself, all right, they were 6-5. The Steelers were 6-5 last year. They have two tough road games. They play the Raiders this week at home. You figure that's probably a win the upcoming week.
Right.
After that, they go on the road against Denver and Indianapolis. Now, if they can do some damage there, this is a team I'm going to say, boy, you know what? I don't want to see this team in the playoffs because they're catching fire at the right time.
So it's interesting. You just don't know. But it was good for the Patriots that the Ravens lost. That gives them a little bit of hope. To try to maybe slide into that
Patriots
second seed.
Definitely have to win out. You know, if they one more loss and they're third seed at best.
Right, assuming these other teams take care of their business. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I watched most of the game. Yeah, it was interesting. I really thought though that Cincinnati completely just outplayed them.
The score wasn't even indicative, because they had to settle for field goals
right
twice
early
when they drove
right,
down there.
Right. So I don't know who the Ravens are. I just don't. And you know,
well, you know what? I think the Ravens are going to have these games though, where their defense plays well enough to win, and the offense has played you know much better this year than it has in the recent past. But still, they have those games where you know they just can't get it going. Like we said, McNair just wasn't on.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like when you play them in the playoffs, say the Patriots had to play them in Baltimore. Now, if their defense is red hot and McNair's making plays, it's going to be a tough out. But if you get one of those games where that offense is stymied and, you know, then you got a shot to take them out. So that's the problem with the Ravens in the playoffs is we don't know what offense is going to show.
Right. Other games coming up this week besides the Patriots, which we'll talk about. I'm interested in this Giants-Cowboys game because I think the Cowboys are going to win. But I just want to see how the Giants come out in this game. Because, you know, they're rallying, they're having meetings, you know, they're trying to unify the locker room and the players and all that stuff. But the problem is they still got Coughlin.
Right.
And no matter how much the players get together, there's a large faction of them that just don't like him.
Right.
So I don't know if he can do it. I think it's the players that have to do it on their own for this game. And with all the injuries they have, I don't think Strahan's playing.
Well,
you know, you did say that
Umanyora is supposed
to
play.
He's coming back, so that'll help.
Well, you know what I do if I'm the Cowboys?
What's that?
First play of the game, I go deep to Patrick Creighton. That does two things. One, they're going to be focused on T.O. and Terry Glenn. You hit Creighton down the middle for a big play. You go up quick, 7-0. If that happens, then you start getting that tension on the Giants sideline. See, if I'm Parcells, I don't worry about trying to run the ball early. You know, get that lead. And make them, you know.
Right.
And, well, did you hear Shockey, what he said?
What did he say?
He said that if they play their game, there's no way that the Cowboys can beat them. He said, you all saw that, what happened the last time we played them. So now the Cowboys got that on their.
Here we go.
You know, but why? You know, why say that? Now? Your team is hanging on by a thread. Now, obviously, you most likely believe that because you play for the Giants. But why say it?
Because he's Jeremy Shockey, and he's an idiot.
You know, and Jason Ferguson was reading it right to the media because he didn't know about it, and he's like, oh, he's like, thank you. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. And he put it up in his lock. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, maybe those things don't have an outcome on the game, but why do it?
Now, Parcells had a press conference yesterday, and he's saying, you know, if someone asked him how did he feel that the Giants were a threat, I'm not exactly sure what the question was, but the answer by Parcells was, well, you know, based on the last time we played them, they really, you know, took it to mm-hmm. us and beat us. And so based on that, I think they're a threat, which was kind of weird. It's like, well, you just don't base it on the last time you play them. There's other facts. So that I thought was weird. Then they asked him about all the stuff that's going on in New York. And Parcells says, look, I only know what's been reported.
That was a great
okay, that's
line.
All I know. And 50% of the time, that's wrong.
You know, he goes, and there's a chance that 50% of that is accurate.
Right, right. So I thought that was interesting.
But the thing I love is, you know, I know fans, they don't like the media all the time, but the thing I hate the most is when players use the media as a crutch. When it's, I mean, do you know who the media is in this instance? It's Michael Strahan. He was the one that was on the radio.
Right.
We have you, Michael. You said it. You
right.
used the word quit. We heard you say it.
Right.
Now you're blaming us for faulty reporting? Come
right.
on now.
And the whole thing of, I don't care what you guys write. Well, then why are you ranting and raving?
Exactly.
You know, it's just.
I love Michael Vick says that too, but meanwhile he's reading every word that's written about him.
To us, it seems so easy to be able to really take the media and put it in the palm of your hand if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a player, I think that I would know exactly how to handle these guys. You know, and it just seems like, why can't these guys just figure that out? That if they want to, they can have these media guys. Call them by their first name, act friendly to them,
mm-hmm.
and you've got them in the palm of
right.
their hand. You know, if Tom Brady goes up to you and says, hey, Tom, how you doing? That's it.
That's
he
it.
Owns
it's
you.
All
That's
over.
It's all over.
Right.
You know, they don't understand how weak we are.
Right.
Oh, anyway. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. First email comes from, by the way, John Rook Tote Board.
Up to 25.
Up to 25. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We only got 4,975 to go. Actually, I get reamed out by one of the emailers later on. I'll read that later.
Okay.
Call me an ass.
I'm sure there was a good reason for it.
Well,
but.
We'll see. All right. Let's see. Who is this? Rodrigo is from Atlanta. And he says, I've been listening to the podcast and I got tired of not recognizing the names of players that you guys talk about from way back when. So I turned on the good old telly and turned the channel to ESPN Classic. So there was a repeat of the 1986 AFC Championship game between the Broncos and Browns. And I'll tell you what, it was a great game. It's the one that
yeah,
we were watching yesterday.
Watching.
You guys talk about Maroney not running out of bounds, and I love that he does that. But the way the guys used to throw their bodies around unmercifully just baffled me when it compared to today's game. Here are some other differences I saw. One, a D lineman dropping back in coverage and intercepting a pass and gaining a couple yards after the pass. Two, when the kicker took his stance, he was straight and not to the side. Wow, that was pretty funny looking. And three, Elway dropped back and threw a ball while getting completely wrapped up by an old lineman. The pass was incomplete, but the ball still was a rocket out of his arm. Well, that's John Elway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And the kicker was Mosley, and I believe he was the last that I know of, this last straight-on kicker.
What I want to say is that I'm tired of the money, even though I know it will never go away. Well, I think every generation of players, they always make more than the last generation.
And it's a different game now. I mean, I wish it was more like it was back in those days. But that's, see, you're talking about those days, but that's the same. That was about 5 years before Chuck Cecil was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and it was, is this guy being blackballed by the NFL because they were saying he was hitting people too hard? So that was still going on back then. We don't think like, well, you could do whatever you wanted.
Right.
No, guys like Chuck Cecil, you know, they were getting the same kind of treatment that people get today. It just wasn't quite as frequent.
You know, and you can say that guys threw their bodies around a lot more back then, but I'll say,
I can't believe we're saying that that's back then. I mean,
but you know, I would also say that, you know, safeties, well, there were some safeties that hit hard. I shouldn't say that, but cornerbacks certainly weren't asked to support the run as much as they do now. And, you know, so I think the hitting overall is harder now than it ever was. There's always been huge hitters in every generation.
Every year, guys get faster and bigger.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you look at Chad Jackson in the locker room, and then compare him to any receiver that played in that game that you're talking about, and they would be a smurf.
Yeah.
I mean, Chad Jackson is huge, and he's fast, and those guys obviously weren't that big as fast. You know, it was 20 years ago now. So every year, guys are getting bigger, they're getting faster, and the collisions are going to be harder.
Andre from Toronto, Canada. What's up, long-time listener? Love the show. I heard you guys complaining about the NFL Network and those stupid cable companies down there in America not showing the games. Well, I just thought I'd inform you that here in Toronto, our local sports center is showing all 8 games on basic cable for free. Tom, you like fruit? I don't know what that means. While all you Americans pay your hard-earned dollars for the NFL package, us Canadians up here get to watch all those games for free. How do you like them apples? And he calls you a bad name. All jokes aside, Tom is the man. Keep sending out some of your college picks over the air. Last I checked, the game I've played, I've won big. Any good ones coming up?
Well, first, I don't know why he's calling me a bad name. I love Canada. They got free health insurance. And it sounds like heaven to me. Everything they got up there is free. There must be something we're not getting.
Taxes are high.
Is that
what
it is?
Cost of living's high. Yeah, Toronto's a very expensive city.
Because, I mean, it seems like every time I hear something, it's free up there. I like Arkansas is my biggest play of the year against Florida. I love the Razorbacks in the SEC championship game. And, of course, Rutgers getting 10 against West Virginia. Fred knows that's a joke.
All right. Well, the thing is, you know, it's good up in Toronto that all the NFL games are free, which is great. But remember, it's the National Football League, and you're watching our product, and we're giving it to you. And, you know, you could make all the Canadian football leagues as you want free, but no one would still wouldn't watch it down here. So, you know, so how do you like them apples?
You should have called Fred the bad name.
Maybe he was. I don't know. Nick says, I've got a couple topics for discussion. How many times has Tom been picked off, Brady, not you, after one of our receivers knocks it up in the air? It's happened a lot this year, and it happened a lot last year. Isn't the rules for receivers, if it hits the hands, he should catch it, and if you aren't going to catch it, no one else should? If I'm wrong, let me know. Well, that's not what happened, though. I mean, I understand, like,
guys are trying to make the catch. But
yeah, they're trying.
I think Bill said something interesting in that long, long, boring press conference yesterday. The one thing he said interesting was, like, in some plays that look like they were good defensive plays, it's because the offense didn't execute right. And I think he was referencing the Watson play, because he said the one where the ball got hit, and we all call it a great defensive play, because he said sometimes the spacing isn't right, the ball's not delivered. So maybe, well, we're thinking that play on Watson was a great hit by the Bears defender, and it was a good defensive play. Bill's saying maybe the ball should have been out quicker, maybe the spacing should have been better.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting comment. And you know, it's tough because we don't know what they know. We just know what we see.
Right. The only reason I mentioned this is because of the list of questions about free agent linebackers. I know he hasn't really played much recently, and he's definitely past his prime, but I just want to say that Ronald McKinnon was one of the most underrated linebackers in the league for years. He was great in Arizona for Dave McGinnis, who I always thought was a great coach. If he could even muster 75% of what he was, I would sign him in a second for rundowns.
Well, first, he had me until he said McGinnis was a great coach. That is a total not true. He's a good guy, and I think he's a good he's a good defensive coach, but I don't think he's a great head coach. But I agree, McKinnon, during his time, I think was very underrated. He was a very good player in Arizona. One of those tackling machines. Always had like 12, 13, 14 tackles. The problem is now he's slow as dirt. You know, that's what I heard. He's just, the guy can barely move anymore, and I don't think that would be a good signing here. But you are right. Back in the day, Ronald McKinnon was a very good player.
And this is for Tom. I'm not going to pretend I know you at all, but two things about safeties. One, I think they are really hard to scout for the draft. I can't think of a single safety that lived up to their billing before the draft that didn't come out of the U. And two, I've really been busy and haven't written in a while, but let me fan the flames of Roy Williams bashing. Against the Colts, Williams almost broke Anthony Henry in half while dropping his shoulder and helmet to lay a second hit on one of the Colts wide receivers. And second, when Newman jumped for an easy interception, Williams took out his legs and Newman dropped it. One last thing, I want Asante to stay. I know he'll be too expensive to keep probably, but you can't keep restaffing your secondary every year. We all agree that we should be drafting a cornerback in the first round next year. In my mind, that statement is true with Asante. Without him, I think you have to sign someone close to his talent who will cost just as much. So why not pay a little more for someone who knows the system?
Now, who's this?
Nick from San Diego.
Nick, I've seen every professional football game Roy Williams has ever played. You're talking about one. If you get in an argument with me about Roy Williams, you will lose every time. People have tried, and they've all come over to my side. I'm not saying he's a bad football player. I'm saying the fact that guys on ESPN and Cowboy fans think that he's one of the top two or three defensive players in the league, that is a joke, my friend, an absolute joke. It's not only coverage. The guy misses too many tackles. I know he's cracking heads. That's what he does. He's good at that. But a guy like that should also be a good tackler. I'll give you an example. Darren Woodson. The guy he used to play with is the all-time Cowboys tackle leader. You know why? Because he wrapped up, he tackled, and when someone was in front of him, they never got past him. Williams doesn't do that on a consistent basis. He's overrated because people on ESPN will tell you how dominant he is. He's not dominant. He's good. He had a good game against the Colts. I'll give you that. But you got to watch every game he plays.
Nothing gets Tom all wired up.
Well, according
Roy Williams,
but according to Andy, if I watched Ed Reed play, I think he stinks and all that. That's not the point. It's Roy Williams misses tackles, and if you're a safety like that, like a Roy Williams type, where you're a big, intimidating safety, you should be a good tackler. You know, if you get beat in coverage, fine. Rodney Harrison gets beat in coverage, but Rodney Harrison is a good tackler. You know, I know, you know, you take the Randy Moss play. Well, he missed Moss. Well, that'll happen every now and again. But usually when you're in front of Harrison, you go down. And that's what I want to see out of my safety.
From what I've seen, Williams can line him up, you know, when he's got that, he certainly lines him up. But, you know, for the plays where you really have to kind of get ahead of the play, you know, where the guy's looking at you, he's not as effective.
Right.
You know, and he usually ends up taking the route behind the guy. That's how he made that famous horse cat
right.
Tackle famous. You know, that was his tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That was how he tackled guys.
And I'll give Andy Hart a little bit of credit, even though he doesn't deserve any. He pointed, you know, we were talking about Roy Williams the other day, and one of his problems that Andy said, and I agree with, is he freelances too much, like Junior Seau did throughout his career, and despite what people think, here in New England. Williams, instead of just coming up and tackling, is always trying to come in with a big hit. He's probably not in position a lot of times because he's doing his own thing, and I think that's a negative for a player.
Let's see. Phil from Nova Scotia. Seems to me that there are a lot of Patriots fans out there with the ugly sister complex. When it comes to comparing ourselves with other teams in the NFL, especially the Colts, when it comes to comparing ourselves with other teams, we beat the Bears on Sunday. Yeah, we only beat them by 4 points, but we beat the Bears, one of the best teams that the NFC has to offer, and maybe the best defensive team in the NFL. But, man, were my fellow fans ever ornery. I look forward to the Tuesday podcast after a win to hear some positive talk, not a crap load of negativity. I wonder what the talk would have been if we just beat the Colts 42-38. Would we be saying that our defense stinks, or would we say that we beat the Colts at their own game? My point is that we beat the Bears at their own game. A good AFC defense beat a great NFC defense, and it was a hell of an entertaining game to watch, both as a Pats fan and a football fan. Please do not misunderstand me. There is nothing wrong with picking our team apart, even after a win, but please try to keep the positive and negative balanced, at least for the first half of a Tuesday show. If we are always negative, we might as well throw a Pats jersey on Eeyore, that's from Winnie the Pooh, I guess, and make him our official mascot. Our wins may not be as pretty as the Colts, but they are still wins. And when was the last time the Colts were invited to the big dance, let alone crown prom queen, 3 out of the last 5 years? P.S. Please disregard this email if we turn the ball over 5 times to the Lions and lose.
Well, I'll add that they won that game because they had Tom Brady in the Bears had Rex Grossman. I think that was a deciding factor. And also, we can't make the first half of the show do anything. We read the emails that are sent in. We don't send in our own emails. So we're reading to what the fans have to say.
Well, I think Paul and Andy were a little negative. No, actually, they weren't. They both thought it was a good win.
Yeah.
It was a good win.
Andy's
but a lot of our
negative,
fans
though.
On Tuesday didn't.
Yeah,
a lot of our fans,
we all agreed one way, and they went against us, amazingly.
Yeah. Usually I'm the only one that's got the pom-pom.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true, though. It's a good win.
It was a good win.
I mean, it doesn't matter
you
how
you can't look
it.
At that Bears team and say they don't have a good defense.
Right. They have
blind.
A good defense.
You're blind if you don't think they have a good defense. You're also blind if you think that Rex Grossman had a good game.
Right.
You know? Let's see. Joe in Winnipeg, Canada. Not a lot of Canadians emailing.
They were
good.
Big with the Canucks. Is that a derogatory statement?
It might be. I don't know.
Can you not call Canadians that?
Pretty much everything's derogatory.
All right. I have no idea what that word even means, so if it was derogatory, I apologize.
I got my PFW from Green Bay game yesterday.
I won that one.
I'm overall very happy with the paper, but it is a little anticlimactic to read the preview of the game 2 weeks after they've been played. Is there any way to get faster delivery?
Well, see, what you need to do now is you need to take the preview and see if it was right.
Right.
You know, what you do is you watch the game. Now see what I wrote, if anything was even close.
Well, the thing is, first of all, there's no reason why a paper going to Wisconsin from here should.
What's going on, Fred? Well, I mean, come on now. What's going on? Well, now I'm mad.
What happens is we print the paper on Monday. It gets delivered to the post office in Brockton. Okay? Now, we know because someone watches them. That they get it off their docks Monday night. Okay, so we know it leaves Brockton. But depending on where you are in the country, it takes different stops. And sometimes these sacks get there, and these, I don't even want to, you know, say what I'm thinking, they don't get it off their docks right away. So one extra day in the jumps that it takes can screw up a mailing for somebody like in Wisconsin. So,
that's awful.
You know, persistent problem, you need to let us know, you know, or Carol Hardy, let us know. We'll put what they call a publication watch on your paper, and then the post office can see where the delay is happening, and then we can pinpoint it. You know, first thing is call your local guy, see when they get it, and they'll always say, oh, as soon as we get it to you, you know. Meanwhile, we've caught postmen actually reading the papers before they deliver them, so it's just unfortunate.
Where were they reading it?
Yeah. You know, so
same place I do.
It's just one of those things. But we're never late getting it out in the post office. I can guarantee you that. I'd love your thoughts on a few things, kind of long, but it's Friday, the Lions game. What else can you be doing? Feel free to cut it short, whenever. Let's see. Pick one for each category. Okay, ready, Tom?
Yep.
Player who has most exceeded preseason expectations. Caldwell, Wilfork, Gostkowski, Seau, or Samuel?
I'll say Caldwell. Seau was in there too, but he's injured now. But Seau and Caldwell were, because I thought Caldwell would be okay. I didn't think Seau would do much of anything.
I would say Seau for me, because Caldwell I thought was going to be the number two receiver.
Yeah.
Or one.
So you're right. Seau is probably number one on the list.
All right. Player who most has not lived up to preseason expectations. I'll leave out the obvious. Richard Seymour, Benjamin Watson, Ellis Hobbs. Kevin Falk.
Really? I knew the answer to that before he even read them.
Team you least want to play in the playoffs? Indy, Baltimore, San Diego, or Denver?
San Diego. I think traditionally Denver gives them the worst matchup, but I don't know how good Denver. You know, we gotta right. Wait to see the whole Cutler thing now. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with San
Diego.
I'll say
San Diego too. Least likely to be a Patriot next year: Corey Dillon, Doug Gabriel, Asante Samuel, or Daniel Graham.
I'll say everyone except Doug Gabriel. I don't think the other three will be here.
See, I'll say all three have a better chance than Daniel Graham. I'll say Graham.
Graham is number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say Dillon too.
Next AFC East team to win the division: Jets, Bills, or Dolphins?
I'll go with the Jets. I think Mangini's laying down a good foundation. I still think he has some work to do. He's got to get his kind of players in there. He might be like 2 years away, but I think he might be the best foundation is laid in New York, I would say.
Okay, who will be the next person to leave PFW? Paul, who leaves for a job at the Herald. Tom, fired for biting Polian or arrested for incident with a minor in Canada who swore she was 14. Andy, continues losing weight until he becomes invisible. Or Fred, who tragically loses round two of Deer vs. Jeep.
I'll say me only because I don't think the other two are willing to move. I know Andy just bought a house and Paul likes where he is. And if somebody offers me a job, I'll probably be on the first plane out.
Jeez. Who is the most responsible for the success of the Patriots organization? Brady, Belichick, or Kraft?
Or Kirsch.
It's Kraft.
I think ultimately.
Yeah, because he was the one that put everything in place.
Right.
You have to remember, they had to give up a lot to get Belichick, and he was the one that did it.
And they called him crazy for doing it.
And one of those people was Tom Casale, who called him crazy for doing it. And I think, you know what, to be honest, though, I think a lot of people
were on that.
You know, even Patriot people were on that.
People in the league thought he was crazy, yeah.
But you know what? It turned out right, so because of that, you got to go with Kraft.
Plus, if he hadn't bought the team, they'd be in St. Louis, literally. Mm-hmm. So that's important. You know, and when you look around the league, the successful teams have successful ownerships. The idiots who are in charge, their teams just never do well.
Right.
You know, and it's just...
There's a reason why some teams have new coaches, new players, you know, new GMs and never win.
Yeah.
It's because it starts at the top.
It starts at the top. Okay, Reverend Ray says, here's some random questions for Friday. Do you think Ken Walter will get into Canton in his first year of eligibility? I mean, it's absolutely appalling that there is such a paucity of holders in the Hall of Fame. And seriously, has there been a better holder in the game over the past two decades? The guy obviously dominates as a holder. Nobody is even in his league. Start carving his bust. That's some funny sarcasm.
Yeah. I picked up on that.
Because there can never be enough crazy Asante Samuel talk, what are the odds of the team franchising and then trading him? Could you see teams giving up a first for him or a second?
I don't think so.
No. If they're going to franchise him, it's because they want to keep him. If Cornell gets canned, would you take him back?
Well, we've been getting emails about that, but isn't the defense great? You know what I mean? The defense has been playing great all year.
And from all reports, Dean Pease is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I just, that's the part I don't get. Like, I kind of get the, well, you know, McDaniels is too young, blah, blah, blah. But on the defensive side, they're giving up no points. I don't know. What is Cornell going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say this. I would say that Romeo Crennel, if he gets fired, will be a defensive coordinator somewhere, but it won't be here.
Okay. Rate these scumbags in order of scumbagginess.
Tom, number one.
Ray Lewis, Ray Carruth, O.J. Simpson, Bill Romanowski, Leonard Little, and Pol Pot.
Well, there's no question O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson,
but I'll tell you
one.
Why. I want to tell you an underrated one is Leonard Little. That piece of garbage should be in prison. And when I used to write my fantasy column, I couldn't take enough shots at him. That no-good piece of crap killed somebody while he was drunk driving, got off because he's a football player, and then got another DWI a year later. He should be in prison.
I mean,
he got a second chance. He got lucky because he's rich. He has money. And then he does it again. He should be behind bars.
I have to agree with you there. Close behind that is Carruth and Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
And then probably Romanowski, who's just a nutcase.
He's a bad guy. At least he hasn't killed anybody yet.
Right. Now discuss some more appliances. That was awesome. Were you guys discussing appliances?
I don't know.
They were talking vacuum cleaners yesterday.
Oh, that's a good one. Now, I know...
During the Paul and Andy football hour?
I'm glad Andy's not here, but my wife, who, you know, she likes... It's not that she likes to vacuum, but she likes to do it right. So I got her this vacuum a couple of years ago, a Miele, M-I-E-L-E, from Germany.
You better hurry this up because you're losing me.
It's an excellent vacuum.
I hear about the Dyson.
Oh, no. Not as good as it's made up to be. Get a Miele.
I have a vacuum, and it works. So I'm going to continue using that.
I have a lady who comes in and does it.
Do you really?
So do I. Her name's Allison.
Gary has a girl. She comes in and cleans.
Once every 3 weeks.
Is it like the Seinfeld one?
Once every... No.
You have a little arrangement with her? Tom from Nottingham, England. I was the genius that came up with the idea of having the John Rook podcast. So, Fred, stop being such an ass. Let's say 500 emails, and then we can have it. Not even you guys have 5,000 listeners, and you have a podcast. All right, we'll make it 500.
Well, so how many do we have? Thousands, though.
Well, we do have thousands. Not all of them email, though. That's the only thing.
Right.
You know? But, all right, so we're 475 away.
Let's be honest here. I like John Rook. He's a nice guy, but he can't hold our jock. So stop comparing John Rook to us.
Good show yesterday. Still believe the show is better when all four of you are in the studio. Much more entertaining. Interesting result last night. Scores like that are going to make the second seed easier to get. Patriots only have one more competitive game left against Miami. Although Fred tried hard, he failed to convince me that the Texans are a good team. They suck. End of argument.
Jacksonville's not competitive? I don't know if you know this, but...
You don't think the Titans have been playing
right.
better?
Right. First of all, any game on the road is competitive if it's a decent team. Second of all, Jacksonville, other than Houston, who they can't beat for some reason, doesn't lose at home. I mean, usually they don't even come close. They blow teams out at home. So that is a very competitive game. I said it before. Unless those teams totally self-destruct, if they lose one more game, they can't get the bye.
Okay.
It'll just be too hard with the tiebreakers because that would be four losses within the conference.
Mark has a good email about Gridiron Grillers. We're always looking for input about how our food is doing in the marketplace. He says, finally bought some Patriots brats. I was expecting an overpriced product, but they were actually quite reasonably priced. I used the recipe that you had suggested on a prior podcast, mustard, onions, and beer. Who did that?
That sounds like Andy.
Andy? I used the Sam Adams Honey Porter as the beer. You've got to use a good malty beer for that. That really sounds good. He marinated them the night before.
We're starving, too. This isn't a good time for this.
And then popped them in the slow cooker crock pot in the morning. They came out fantastic. My kids had never had brats before, and they love them. They are both big Tom Brady fans. So if you read this on the air, give a shout-out to April and Trevor. Okay, April and Trevor.
Well,
there you go.
Like I said the other day, I don't like kids, so... I don't give shout-outs to him. But, hey, Chris, are you up there listening? Where's Kyle with our food?
Let's see. So that's a thumbs-up endorsement for Gridiron Grillers. And as for Sunday's game, I'll be there, and I'm actually looking forward to a good ass-whipping. We've had some tough games of late, and every once in a while it is fun to watch a nice blowout. It is unfortunate that Chad Jackson is listed on the injury report as Detroit might be tailor-made for finally seeing what he might be capable of doing. Hopefully we'll be able to see Maroney go to town on the new turf and Brady connecting on his usual to his usual 5 to 6 different people.
Well, that Chad Jackson's really starting to piss me off.
Now what? He's got a groin now.
Yeah, I wrote a story about him this week. You know, for the issue.
Well, that was the kiss of death.
Well, what it was, Fred, it was comparing him to some other receivers. Like Steve Smith only had 10 catches his rookie year. Javon Walker only had 23. So the point of the story was, well, you can't say he's the next Jerry Rice. It's kind of too early to say he's the next David Terrell, too, you know, because it's still his rookie year. But as I'm writing this, now he's on the injury report again, you know. And if there's one thing me and Belichick don't like, it's if you can't stay on the field.
You and Belichick.
Yeah, if you can't stay on the field, not in the tub or whatever that saying is, I don't want you on my team. What is it? Can't make the club from the tub. You know, I'm sick and tired of that.
Yeah, I agree with Tom.
It is amazing, though, that there are some guys who just don't get hurt, and then there are some guys who are always hurt.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
You wonder if it's got anything to do with mental toughness. Like, are some of the guys who are always hurt, are those injuries that the tough guys actually play through? You know what I mean?
I think it's a combination of both. I think they do play through him, but I also think that there are guys who are just unlucky and just get hurt all the time. And then some guys just, you know, it's kind of like they play with this force field around them that doesn't matter. They just don't get hurt. I mean, Brewski used to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd go down and you'd see him go down and you go, oh my God, he's never going to get up. And it was just like he would regenerate himself in like 2 minutes and he'd be back up. He'd pop up like a Gumby. Let's see. James the iPod guy says, please add my name to the list of people requesting the Patriots Playbook podcast. It would be nice to have another opportunity to listen to something while you guys are discussing the sucking power of vacuums. Thanks for the great show. I'll send Tom the prices for the iPods.
Well, you know, that's what you get when you got Andy and Paul down here. You know, they were probably gossiping and doing what they do down here, talking about vacuums or whatever it is. But, James, I don't care about the prices for the iPod. I sent you the info, so get out that laptop. And if I see Matt Castle typing away on it in the locker room, it's going to be somebody's ass.
why do I – did you tell him the story of how the
yeah,
last shipment
– Yeah, I told him.
Okay. Why do I start – let's see. Who's this? Eric in Manchester, New Hampshire. Why do I start, please – oh, let's see. Oh, I don't know what – I gotta figure this out.
Who? Not why, who?
Oh, who? Oh, who do I start, please? It's a must win in my money league. Young versus Indy, Rex versus Mini, Cutler versus Seattle. I know, don't start him yet. Okay, so who? Vince Young versus Indianapolis, Rex Grossman versus Minnesota, or Cutler versus Seattle?
I'd start, Rex Grossman.
Versus Minnesota?
Yeah, because we all seen what you can do against Minnesota.
Yeah, I know, but it's a interdivision.
Yeah, but his other options aren't that great. At no point ever, if I'm playing for money, am I starting a guy I've never seen play before.
See, here I might do Young versus Indy, and here's why. Sanders is the key, okay? And you know when Indy's playing good on defense, they're sending Sanders on blitzes, and he's helping out against the run. But with Young, you have to worry about his legs too. So yeah. That might force Sanders to stay home a little bit.
I don't know.
Do you get points for
yards
running by the quarterback?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so maybe I'd go with
Young. I just, Grossman.
First of all, I hate fantasy football. I don't know why you guys do. And a lot of players.
Well, we're playing for money too, you know.
I know, but I hear a lot of players don't like fantasy football.
Well, you're wrong. I heard a lot of players do.
Some play it, actually.
Yeah, and some LT says that. You know, he comments, LJ said before the year that he should be the number one pick. They get into it. You're too old for that, Fred. Don't tell us that players don't like it. You don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I got a lot of emails here. We're going to get to them right after this.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
In the first round draft pick in 2004, to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want to contact too. Autographed and helmet limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in progress.
Look awful. Those clothes. Those shoes. You smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, that's kind of you, son. And a Happy New Year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Beef jerky?
Oh, sorry, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh.
And Andy. And Andy?
A jacuzzi, sir.
You see, man, I knew y'all was f***ing, man. You ain't jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Hey, bubbles, man. Say, man, when I was growing up, we want jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
Some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha! Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. Ha 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 ha! Keep jerky time.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved $42,000 and it's in T-bills, earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I've enough to retire on.
PFW in progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray!
Feeling good, Lewis!
All right. Back here in PFW in progress, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale. I assume we'll be joined soon by Mike Felger of the Boston Herald and ESPN Radio. And of course, he'll have some interviews, maybe Troy Brown, Matt Light maybe, a couple other guys, who knows.
Colvin.
Yep. So that's coming up later this hour on PFW in progress. In the meantime, we'll continue with your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Food just got delivered.
Just got eaten by me.
Big shout out to Omega Pizzeria in Foxborough, and thanks to Kyle for bringing down the food.
And now screwing it up.
You shouldn't shout it out if they're not giving it to us for free.
That's true. Well, maybe they'll hear this.
You didn't dismantle yours in that?
I got three quarters of it done so far. but much needed sustenance. Yeah.
Speaking of vacuums.
Shane in Miami, Florida says, I listened yesterday to an emailer in regards to the rest of the schedule for the year for the AFC playoff contenders. Personally, I think that if the Patriots have any chance of going to the Super Bowl this year, they'll have to find a way to get that number two seed in the playoffs. Even though Pittsburgh won three games on the road, no less, last year, I just don't see the Patriots strong enough this year to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. The AFC has too many good teams this year to do that. Can you see the Pats beating both San Diego and Indy on the road? I can't. Pittsburgh was a hot team with a great defense and running game, something the Pats have not yet shown consistency with. So let's hope for a couple Charger and Raven losses because they need that bye. What do you think, Tom? Is it impossible for the Patriots to not have the bye?
It's not impossible. I think in today's NFL, I don't think it's like it used to be. Because, let's say, I don't know, in the late 80s, you would have to go through San Francisco. If you didn't have that bye, you'd have to go to San Francisco and beat the 49ers. In the 90s, you'd have to go to Dallas and beat the Cowboys. Those were premier NFL teams. I don't think you have that today, so it makes it a little bit easier. Because the Patriots are, you know, they're in the same boat with those other two teams, and they play well on the road. Obviously, you'd prefer to have a home game and have people come here, but I don't think it's impossible.
And, you know, sometimes even if you're the number three team, you know, sometimes an upset can happen, and all of a sudden you got that extra home game that you didn't count on.
Like last year.
Yeah.
When, you know, if the Patriots had won.
Yeah, they would have been
here.
Back here for the AFC Championship against Pittsburgh. So
and that's another thing, too, that I think in today's NFL is you'll see more of those upsets. Like, say the Bengals are the sixth seed.
Right.
Would you be shocked if they went into Indianapolis and outscored the Colts? Nobody would. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty even game. So, you know, even if Jacksonville's the sixth seed. You know, them and the Colts, they play tight games all the time. So I think six seeds beating one seeds isn't that big of a deal anymore.
It's not
so
that far-fetched. I think in the NFC it might be. Let's say the Bears are the number one seed. I don't think the sixth seed in the NFC
like
has,
the Rams are six or something.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Let's see. Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire. Can Tom give me his pick in the OU versus Nebraska Big 12 championship? And if OU wins and meets the Smurfs of Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, with Adrian Peterson probably returning, who wins that?
That's a tough one. I like Oklahoma because I like the way they're playing, and I think their quarterback, Thompson's been playing well. Defense has been coming along. That's not a pick for me, though, because I think it's a tough game. I'll go with Oklahoma. I'm glad to see Nebraska and Oklahoma playing again in a big game. I grew up watching those two teams.
Remember when they had the tearaway shirts?
Yep.
By the end of the game, they'd be like in rags.
Yep. Oh, they were always one versus two. It was great. But Oklahoma, too. Any one of those teams has too much for Boise State. Oklahoma's defense is just too much for them.
Okay. I just deleted an email that on mistake. Sean from Macon, Georgia. Mark me down for adding John Rooker to your podcast. Well, first you need to know that his name is John Rook. Anyway, John is a refreshing change of pace from your sarcastic, bickering PFW in progress. John is respectful to all his emails and doesn't try to make them look bad on his show. Most of us never claim to be football experts, but when we ask a question or have a comment that you don't agree with, you often bite our heads off, especially Tom and Andy.
Who's this?
This is Sean from Macon, Georgia.
Hey, Sean, go to hell. Go listen to John Rook and stop listening to PFW in progress.
Hey,
we don't need you.
I still listen to you guys because you have something to offer, but you could take a page from John's book on treating your emailers, some of whom are subscribers to PFW, with a little respect. Hats off to John for such a professional spin put on his show.
I don't have to respect you. I do the I do the writing and the talking. You do the listening. If you don't like it, don't listen.
There you go. Another happy customer. Let's see. Zeus from Rancho Mirage, California. 2 years ago, I attended a game at the new stadium when they blew out the Bills 31-0. Despite a nice game, I was pretty disappointed with the crowd noise. Anyway, I was just back in Boston for the Bears game. I was astounded at how much louder it was. I think that field turf changed the acoustics of the stadium. I would like to hear your thoughts. I thought it was
It was pretty
better.
Loud.
It
yeah,
was better.
Sunday was loud.
Yep.
What you need is you need that on a consistent basis, though. You know what I mean? You need that in a week in and week out. I understand maybe if it's 41-0 in the Lions game in the fourth quarter, you're not going to get up and scream when the Lions have a 3rd and 18, which, of course, Belichick will be nervous, though, that they can convert that because they convert all 3rd and 18s, according to him. But, you know, like when you're playing the Broncos, like I remember there was an email we got after that game. Well, what was there to cheer about? Well, you know, the team needs you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Try to get the Broncos to have a false start penalty, you know, make 3rd and 6, 3rd and 11. That's what, you know, consistency. That's what we need here.
Pete is a New Hampshire transplant living in Ocala, Florida. He says he loves pro football. He loves the Pats. Can't stand the endless commercials and constant promos delivered right up until the snap. I tend to watch most games now without the sound. Do any of you ever hear any inside chatter, pro or con, regarding this matter? I think the suits are killing the game. Maybe the commercials are necessary, but the endless promos, please. Who gives a crap about some ditzy show that's on later in the week? I got to agree with him. It's just ridiculous. But
it's not going away.
It's not, because when you think about the money that these networks are paying to show the games, I mean, this is what they call them lost leaders. And they're willing to lose money on the NFL because it's the perfect platform to promote all their other shows.
And let me tell you what happened. The NBC had the NFL. They were number one out of the three networks. CBS got the NFL. The next year, CBS was number one, and NBC was number three behind CBS and ABC.
Yep.
That's the power of the NFL, and that's why they do it.
Yep. So, unfortunately, you're right. It's never going away. However, I think maybe 5 years from now, maybe a little longer, probably if you're willing to pay, you'll be able to watch these games without commercials, but you'll have to pay.
I'll pay.
Jay from Hanson, I have three things that are really aggravating me about watching the NFL. One, commercials. I know the owners want to make as much money as possible, but the presentation of the product is really taking a beating. The flow of the game is almost non-existent. I would rather they take fewer, longer breaks than the constant touchdown commercial, kickoff commercial. It's brutal.
Can I chime in on that one?
Mike Felger just walked in. Mike,
because you know what? I heard you say this outside, and I want to come in and talk about this because it's one. I think it's the number one issue facing the league.
The commercials.
The number one issue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not just the commercials, but what they did about 10 years ago. They changed the clock rules. It's now 40 seconds, and the clock still runs when you go out of bounds. They did all those things because they were worried about the games going too long.
Right.
So instead of cutting down on commercials, they cut down on the number of plays. And I think NFL games don't have enough plays. I think they're too short. I think NFL games are too short. There's not enough plays.
Well, there you go.
And you know what they need to do? And I don't know why they don't.
Well, Mike, I mean, you say that, but have you looked at a game from like 1960 and see how many plays are in it compared to now?
I think there's fewer. I'm pretty sure there's fewer.
Because you're known to throw things out without doing research.
Well, fair point.
And Mike, I hate to tell you this.
Any question about it.
But with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the Lions game, I'm going to come up to you and say, how many more plays do you want?
Well, I think we've talked to Bill about this before. There are fewer plays. I mean, it's only natural. If you're not stopping the clock when you go out of bounds, when you're starting a 40-second clock as opposed to, you know, I mean, they've changed all those rules.
Yeah.
It led to fewer plays. I mean, they also shortened halftime. But here's where I'm going with this. If you watch baseball, baseball's gotten smart. As soon as that last out is done, Orsillo barely has a chance to say the score before they whack to commercial.
Right.
And they come back usually right on top of that first pitch.
Right.
Sometimes they miss it, which sucks. But the point is, they're not wasting time dilly-dallying going in and out of commercials. They bang out as many as they can without interrupting the flow of the game. Watch them go to break in the NFL game. It takes about 20 seconds. There's a music montage and a little something. And then they'll come back and do a bunch of reads before they start the first play. They aren't efficient with their commercial time. And the other thing that bothers me, and let's see how smart you guys are, how acute observers you are. Do you like how I've come in here and just taken over the program?
Yeah, you're talking to someone, though, that has the NFL Sunday ticket his whole life, so as soon as a commercial comes on, click.
Okay.
I might not know where you're going with
Red Zone Channel is true sports arousal. But anyway, there are only two companies that you are allowed to see their logo on the field of play. And this is outside of uniform stuff, you know, Reebok logos.
Or sideline, like on
headset. Aside from that, there are only two companies where you can see their company name or logo on an NFL field. What are they?
Disney?
Nope.
That's a good question.
And it's not really on the field. They're sideline. Only
General
two
Electric.
Companies. Nope.
John Deere.
No. But that's a good guess. I mean, you're thinking.
Am I on the right track? Yeah.
You're on the right track. There are only two.
Gatorade?
Gatorade's one.
Yeah. And
Gradecki's got
what,
it.
What's the other one? The Motorola.
Motorola.
Yeah, that's why I said headset.
Okay, Motorola.
Yeah.
Those are the only two.
So that's not that hard.
Why don't they sell, like soccer, like UC,
right.
like international soccer? Sell uniform space. Sell field space. You can superimpose things
well,
on the
field. Well,
the
NFL's got all those uniform rules and all that stuff.
Sell it.
I know.
Give me fewer commercials and sell those ads on the field.
Well, selling those won't stop the commercials, I guarantee you. Because remember, the money, the owners, you know, in this emailer mentioned they know the owners want is make as much money. The owners already have the money from the networks. Now the networks are trying to recoup. So the way the commercials are done, it's just for the benefit of the network.
Allow the networks to do it. Whatever. However the equation goes, they cannot cut out any more plays. They can't jam in any more commercials. It's reached a saturation point. You cannot do any more. If they want to increase revenue, they cannot add more commercials.
Well, why don't they do like, you know, now they superimpose down and distance.
Exactly.
Why don't they superimpose an ad on the field?
That's what they do in soccer.
Yeah. Well,
Monday Night Football is like 8 hours long. I mean, they go to a commercial every 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with long games.
Yeah.
You know, if it's football, like college games can go forever, but there are a ton of plays. Look at the number of plays in a college game as opposed to a pro game. It's because of the clock.
See, I don't mind so much going away to a commercial because you're never going to miss a play because of it. But I just can't stand the incessant promos for
it's
other
non-stop.
Shows.
Non-stop.
CSI this and then I can't stand it. Oh, it's
reached a saturation point.
It really is bothersome. Okay, so then this emailer also asked, how you doing, Mike, by the way?
Oh, by the way, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
You fellas?
Doing good.
Tom's got his bag of jelly beans, so we're all set.
We were talking earlier on Tuesday after the Bears win. We had a lot of emailers that weren't very happy with the win.
Well, you know what? I think they should be upset by the turnover thing.
Well, yeah, but
I think Ron Borges' column was interesting and got people thinking, but at the end of the day, wrong.
No, I disagree. I think it was a good game.
Oh, no, it was a good game.
And I think it was a good win.
And it was a good win.
Okay.
And it was an entertaining game.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't reflect well on the Patriots how they played.
I think, you know, to your point, I think Bill Belichick probably gave one of his most heated rants after the game to the team. He was all over them because specifically prior to that game, they emphasized taking care of the ball because of the nature of the Bears' defense, and you know, still they gave up 5 turnovers. So he was all over them. But I think, you know, and any other time we'd be saying, well, they lost. How can you win if you give up 5 turnovers? They actually did win and give up 5 turnovers against maybe the league's best defense.
Well, they also gave up 5 to Indy. They also gave up 4 to Indy. They gave up 5 in Denver in the playoffs. It's not exactly just a Bears thing.
No,
you know,
okay.
I mean,
that's a fair point.
That's the bigger problem.
That's a fair point.
When they've gotten in these big games and played tough defenses, and not even that Indy has a tough defense, they've sort of had a common thread.
And if you turn the ball over 5 times in the playoffs and win, you're going to be one. You probably can count on one hand how many teams have done that in the history of the NFL.
Yep. Okay. This emailer says also, what the hell is pass interference? Last night, Samari Roll grabs Chris Henry with 2 hands in the end zone, no call. On Sunday, Artrell Hawkins is in perfect position looking at the ball, interference. Chad Jackson gets face guarded, no call. What the hell is a penalty?
Bernard Berrien gets pushed to the ground by Sanders. They forgot to mention that one, so I thought I'd throw it in.
It is inconsistent.
Yeah, you might as well just stop with these emails. It'll never end.
Right.
It's always going to be inconsistent. There's always going to be bad pass interference calls. We were talking about the Broncos Cleveland game from 1986. Trust me, there was bad calls back then too. Never going to end.
And you know, I don't just totally blame the officials. It's an impossible call.
It's a very difficult
call.
You know, and these guys have kind of convinced me. I was always saying, you know, they need to keep it a spot foul because if you're in crunch time and you're in the end zone, if I'm a coach, I'm telling my guy, tackle the guy. You know, if it's a 15-yard penalty, tackle him. Because rather than give up the touchdown, and I think that's why they have it as a spot foul. But as a compromise, I'll say, okay, up to 25 yards downfield, it's a spot foul. Beyond 25 yards, it's a 25-yard penalty.
I mean, there's other ways to do it. I like the option, like what the NBA does with hard fouls. There's like a hard foul one, hard foul two. Like they have different sort of levels. And I don't even know exactly what they are. But
again, that's so much gray.
Oh no,
what is a hard interference?
No, but he's saying if you're grabbing someone and bringing them down on purpose just to get the 15 yards.
I can guarantee. I know. you can teach a guy to interfere with a guy and not make it look like, just run him off the field.
Well,
with
that's
your head
fine.
Up, you know, but that's not, you know, what do you call that?
To me, the blatant tackle that everyone's worried about, you get beat, you tackle the guy by the ankles, that's a spot
foul.
Well,
you know what?
Everything else is 15.
It's like I said before, I don't think it's going to happen. These guys are professionals. They're going to go for the ball. I'll tell you what, I've been watching college football my whole life, and I might have seen that done once.
Exactly.
You never see it
just
done.
Doesn't happen. And I think on this one, here's another thing the league has missed on. They don't miss on much, but they are of the mind that fans need high-scoring games. They underestimate football fans. We don't need high-scoring games.
It could sound like a hockey fan.
Well, if people wanted, if points were the most important thing, then the Arena League would be going off
right. No,
you know, through the roof. And yeah. They're not. People don't care. People will take a game like last week, 17-13, with good action.
Yeah, they want good games.
They don't need points. The league has that wrong.
Well, what they do want is the skilled players to be able to operate. You know, and I know everyone around here.
I think they can operate.
No one likes soccer around here, except with the exception of me. But I think the MLS is making a big mistake by not calling penalties within the scoring box because, you know, guys like Taylor Twellman, the few guys that have real skill, they get close to the goal and they get mugged.
A little soccer talk. They don't call PKs?
No, not the penalty area, but there's a box outside of that. I don't know what they call it. But once a guy gets in there, I mean, if you're Taylor Twellman, there's two guys draped on you. And they're mugging you, and they never call it. And it really, you know, not only keeps the score down in MLS, but it doesn't allow the fans to see the skill of these guys.
That's why no one watches soccer. Next.
That's a little much.
Same thing with roughing the quarterback. There was a roughing call against Green Bay Monday night against Seattle that was absolutely ridiculous.
That's arguably the worst call in NFL history.
It occurred in the fourth quarter, third and 10. It was a three-point game. The
Jenkins.
Ball was in Seattle territory.
Cullen Jenkins literally gave up on the play, put his hands up, palms out, as if to show the ref, I'm
do
not
anymore.
Trying to hit this guy, and he still got it.
So, I mean,
I'm sure Mike Pereira went on NFL Network and said the call was called right because he's a joke, he's an idiot, and I can't stand the guy. And if anyone got a problem with it...
I think he's great. I love Mike Pereira.
I think he's a moron.
He's great.
I think he tries to insult our intelligence by saying these calls that we know. Listen, I'm a man. He's a man. Just say, we got it wrong.
Yeah, but Tom, can you imagine the team that...
Sometimes he does, doesn't
you know,
he?
Yeah, when the team wins, if it doesn't affect the
right,
outcome.
Right, exactly.
The Green Bay game affected the outcome.
The only time that I've seen them really do that is that Giants game.
That's the only one I can remember where it was, where they
on the field
came
goal?
Out and said it.
Right.
The botched field goal.
But then it was like, well, what can you do, though?
Well, then you know what? Let the guy who made the call make him available to me after the game. Let me at him, then.
So you're going
to
beat him up?
No, let me ask him the question. I want to know what you saw.
Well, become the pool reporter.
Yeah, you can.
Pool reporter.
Just some intimidation would do. You don't actually literally need to beat him.
The pool reporter, he's about as useless as this internet show that we're doing.
Oh! Karthik says, since Lance Briggs is set to become a free agent, is there an opportunity...
Robbie?
To initiate talks with Chicago for even substituting the first-round pick. Would you give up a first-round pick for Lance Briggs?
Yes, categorically. Yeah. Tomorrow? Yesterday?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
He's what?
First of all, they need a linebacker.
He's 25 or 26?
Yeah, he's not that old. They need a linebacker.
You got two first-rounders?
You figure they'll probably take one with one.
Well, he's not a free agent yet, so...
Do you like him or Adelius Thomas better? I didn't realize Adelius Thomas is 270.
Yeah, he's huge.
A moose.
That's why I emailed in when Andy was calling him a special teams player.
Well, he was a special teams player.
Yeah, 4 years ago. it all depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for a guy who can drop back in coverage and do a lot of different things, then you want Briggs. If you're looking for a guy who can put pressure on the quarterback, play that outside type of role, then Thomas. But I would go with Briggs because I think he brings more versatility.
He'd be more useful. Elgidio says, what do you guys really think about Matt Light? I see a good right tackle playing out of position at left tackle.
Where is he?
Yes, he does a serviceable job, but I think that he's the weak link on the line for the very reason that he's not able to keep up with speed rushers on the outside. I don't think we should draft a tackle in the first round, but the second round, yes. Or maybe a free agent this offseason would help. I think you'd see a huge dividends by moving Matt to the right and bringing in a true left tackle.
Listen, I'll show you Matt Light's contract. He's paid like a starter. Yeah. He ain't going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
He's the guy. And you know what? He's good, not great.
Yeah, he's a good. I mean, I think people, they're under the the assumption that there's a lot of Orlando Paces. You know what I mean? Like, right. there's a bunch right. of teams that have Jonathan Ogden and Orlando Pace.
There's about three, maybe yeah. five. Walter Jones, Pace, Ogden.
I mean, look at the best teams in the league. Look at the Bears and teams like that. Who are their left tackles? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there are only a couple dominant.
I mean, Terry Klein's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Good. I mean, shut down left tackles and shut down cornerbacks. There are not a lot of them.
Right. You know, that's why when there is one that comes out, they usually go 1, 2, 3, or 4 like the Brick did this year because you don't find them that often.
Yep. How's he doing, Brickashaw?
I heard he's doing very good.
The Brick?
Yeah.
I heard
him and Mangold are having phenomenal. Now, obviously, I wouldn't know because I don't sit there and pretend to know offensive linemen and what they're doing. But the one thing I did notice was Mangold abused Vince Wilfer.
They kicked the crap out of this team, I was just going
to
say.
Jared at URI, why does Roosevelt Colvin have to switch to the left side when Tully Bannacane comes in?
Bannacane's not big enough to play the run. And I think the strong side outside linebacker is going to see, on that left side, is going to see more running plays, right?
Yeah, that where Bannacane's coming in, that's primarily the pass rush spot, right? And that's
the weak side. You know, the defensive left is the offensive right, and if most teams are right-handed, the right tackle's bigger than the left tackle. They run right.
Right.
And that's just the way most NFL teams go. And so if you have a better run-stuffing player, he's on the defensive left like Ty Warren. And if you have a better, quicker, sort of lighter pass-rushing guy, he's on the defensive right. So Bannacane is more of that guy as opposed to Colvin.
All right. There you go. Joey in Northport, want to send props to James in Roanoke and Jamie in Houston for all the really great emails, thoughts, and comments. Isn't this the last year of Graham's contract? I hope he resigns with the team. I've always appreciated his blocking skills, and he's a better pass catcher than he's given credit for. I expect to see much more from Dave Thomas next year, regardless of whether Graham returns or not. He was Vince Young's binky for 2 years, and I see him doing the same here. What's your thoughts on these ruminations?
Well, I don't think Graham's coming back.
He made a great catch that we didn't really get to talk a lot about. That was an awesome catch.
I know Andy has said this before, and I totally agree with him. I think Graham believes he can be a much bigger part of a passing game somewhere. So when I did a story on him a few weeks ago, I was kind of asking him about that. And you could kind of tell by his answers that he blocks here because he's asked to block here, but he feels like he can do more. He feels like he can be one of those upper echelon tight ends, and he's never going to have that chance here.
All right.
That's accurate. I think he's gone. I think he and Samuel are gone. If they were to get done, they would have gotten done during the bye with Copen.
Donaldo wants you to have an open mind when I read this email, Tom.
Okay.
He says, I have a great idea. Let's trade Maroney in a first-round pick to the Falcons for Mike Vick. Imagine the possibilities. Vick is the best running back in the league. The problem is he plays QB. So bring him here, watch him turn this offense into a powerhouse, split him out wide, run draws, running back option passes. Kraft will have so many jerseys he can pay Samuel under the table to stay here. Vic is the man. What do you think, Tom?
Such an idiot.
I'm probably guilty of this, too. I call Vic a running back playing quarterback. He's not really a running back. If he changed a position,
he would be a
slash type guy, like Brad Smith and those guys do with the Jets. He would line up as a receiver. He would come in the backfield. He's not a guy where you're going to give the ball 20 times to, although apparently Maroney isn't either, so I guess it would all even out.
More PFW delivery problems, Tom. Jeff in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada.
We're going down the tube.
He says, awful in Wisconsin. We had one person from Wisconsin complaining.
He just got the Packers issue.
I just got my PFW reviewing the Packers game on Tuesday. It takes forever for it to get here in Canada. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about Canada.
I got to be honest, Fred. What? You know, I don't want to go against the paper here because I work for it. But I've subscribed to many, many sports publications, including a team newspaper a while back. And I never had any trouble. They always get there when they're supposed to get there. So this sounds like an internal problem.
No, I guarantee you it's out of our hands. I mean, we work with a lot of the post offices, and we've actually cleared up just recently a problem in Springfield, Mass., that they were holding on to it too long. But we get it out religiously on Monday.
Well, I didn't mean us. I mean somewhere in the system.
But the problem is there's so many stops, depending on where you live, you know, along the way.
So you're just saying that people who work at the post office are lazy.
Now, but that's why we create PFW Online, which is password protected.
I was going to ask you that before. Now, can't they, the PFW people can go online
You can go online and read the newspaper, you know, on Tuesday, in case there's certain things you want to see prior to getting
it. Makes it more difficult to read it in the can.
Right, that's true. You can print it out and you know, the other thing is, if you're willing, you could pay a little extra for first class delivery. And then even if you're in Canada, I think you'd get it on time. So, but it's pricey.
All right.
You know, it's like a buck an issue extra. Let's see. Pease is the title of the next one. And he says, what are the odds that Dean Pease is a head coach, college or NFL, within the next 5 years?
Decent chance.
I say pretty good.
I mean, he's been a head coach.
Especially college.
Yeah.
Where they seem to be, seems to be like a trend moving here.
Going
where,
back.
Where college is going to the NFL now to get their guys. So I could definitely see that. I mean, he made a winner out of Kent State. That's tough to do. That's really tough to do. So I think if he continues to have success here, a college will definitely come calling.
All right. Dan in Fairfax, since someone else wrote in with their problems with the paper, I just got the PFW with the Colts wrap-up Jets preview on Monday. Then Tuesday, you got two copies of the Green Bay wrap-up Bears preview.
What's going on,
even though
Fred?
I only have one subscription.
You guys cutting corners on the paper, too?
No, we're actually sending out extra subscriptions to this guy. I don't know what's going on.
The Patriots beat the Rams and won the Super Bowl.
That's an update.
I just want to let you know, if you read that Packers preview I wrote, it's spot on. I told you they'd kill the Packers.
Jeremy says, did you hear that John got about 25 votes last night for a podcast? Come on, bring down the total to 250. Have a good one. Well, I've already brought it down to 500.
I got
to
be honest with you. I don't give a rat's bottom if you podcast that show or not. So I don't
right,
know
Jeremy,
why we're reading
I,
all
I
these emails
cut you
on
short
the air.
Here.
Let's see. Scott says, please podcast
bottom.
John's show except for Friday. Why? What happens on John's show on Friday?
Nothing. It's a replay of Thursday.
Oh, well, then we wouldn't, you know, because you already have it. All right. Let's see. Bob says, could you explain to me why hamstring injuries appear to take longer to heal? Incidentally, Tom Brady commented recently that because he didn't have muscles, it wouldn't affect him, while players with knee injuries who have arthroscopic surgery appear to get back to the field much sooner. Finally, when I was a kid, you always heard about Charlie horses. I never hear the term anymore, but I never heard the term high ankle sprain 30 years ago either. Has the terminology for these injuries changed?
Good question. What is a Charlie horse again? They have bruise, right?
Now they call it a deep thigh bruise, I
right,
think.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So they just I don't know, some guy named Charlie probably got offended somewhere and they had to change the name. Well, the hamstring thing is something that can linger. A knee injury is they get it done, you rehab, and unless you're Dante Culpepper, you're back playing and, you know. Plus, are we talking about a regular hamstring injury, or are we talking about Chad Jackson's hamstring injury?
Whoa.
Well, now it's a groin.
What are we implying there?
I'm implying that he spends more time in the tub than on the field.
Let's see.
Although when you read my story in this week's edition of PFW, you'll think he's going to the Hall of Fame. That's what we do here.
Tony writes in, Tony G, he says, you were talking about Rack, Crennel, and where he might end up if fired. Tom, you said he could possibly end up as some team's defensive coordinator. Who do you think that might be? Perhaps the Jets? In this coming off season's coaching carousel, do you think there will be any repositioning that would make the AFC East a less hospitable place for the Patriots? What are your speculations on the off-season coaching changes in general? And can you throw in the quarterback question in there as well?
I think it's fascinating, the off-season coaching thing that could be going on this year. We're going to do this next week on my Four Down show on FSN.
Me.
There you go. Hit it. Hit a button. Any button. There you go. Thank you. And we compiled a list of coaches that have had a question mark put next to their name. We came up with 12 just off the top of our head. Gruden, Reed.
Del Rio.
Del Rio?
Yeah.
Call it 13.
Throw them in there.
Gruden, Reed, Gibbs, Parcells, Cowher,
yep.
Dennis Green, Romeo Crennel.
I think Crennel stays, though.
Okay, that's seven. God, we had so many. There's more.
Yeah.
There's more.
Shell.
Art Shell in Oakland.
Yep.
Sure.
Just to name a few.
Jeff Fisher.
Thank you.
Yep.
Nine.
Yep. That's a lot.
Schottenheimer, if he doesn't go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I got news for you. Marvin Lewis better hope that this hot streak continues because a couple more seasons like this with all these troubles and not winning, he's going to be on the hot seat too.
So I mean, let me ask you guys again because you're insiders, you're in the stadium, and I sort of tried to kind of broach it kind of today with Belichick.
Yeah, he wasn't going to have any of that. I know what you're talking about.
We haven't heard any official announcements since the day Kraft stepped to the podium in training camp in 03, I think it was.
I have tried to get the skinny on what the status of his contract is.
All I need to know is he officially under contract beyond this season? That's all I want to know.
From what we know that was announced, this would be the end of his contract.
Correctamundo.
But I've been told that don't worry about it, he's under wraps.
I've been told that too,
but that's all I know.
But
I don't know what that means.
Why not step to the podium and say that? Why not
put it to rest.
Yeah, I mean, they felt the need to do that in 03.
Right.
Kraft made a point stepping to the podium and saying he's been extended 2 years. Why have they not done that this time?
There's probably some good reason why they don't. And obviously, if you don't know, then every year could become a distraction. But the way it's worked out is no one even talks about it. So apparently it's working for them. Are you going to start that up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I'll tell you what, Felger, you know what you use? Use my theory. I say the China trip was the final straw.
Yeah,
he's
dude.
He's not going to China.
You know how I feel about China.
Okay. Let's see. And finally, Tony G says, hopefully
no disrespect to the Oriental.
Right. Hopefully the game this weekend will keep Tom awake. Pat's 41. Matt Millen's fired.
That's not going to keep me awake. You know why? Because Tom's got to do the opposing view.
Hey, does Matt Millen sit in the press box?
I don't care. But what am I supposed to write about? When the final score is 41-3, I'm supposed to go into the Lions locker room, and it's like one of those team films. I'm supposed to try to, what am I supposed to write about? Well, the Lions stink. They're going to continue to stink. They're not going to be any good next year. They have no quarterback. They have no defense.
There you go. You already wrote it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You're done.
Those are the worst ones for me.
You can write it before the game even starts, and you're done.
The murders against a bad team because they're all down in the locker room. They have no hope.
Right.
Losers.
Bill from Malden, Mass. Does anybody have a Dave Thomas sighting these days? Where is the pass-catching tight end we drafted? Tom, I know you were high on this guy coming out of Texas, but where is he? It's obviously that Brady could use another target. So far, Jackson, Thomas, and Mills have done nothing for this team. Well, Mills is on IR, right? Not good for your second, third, or fourth picks. Personally, I don't think Mills was even hurt. Belichick wanted to save the roster spot and put him on IR with a phantom injury.
Agreed.
If they're going to draft these tight ends all the time, shouldn't they at least use them?
Well, you're asking me where Thomas is. I can't even figure out where Maroney is. So once we nail that down, I'll work on Dave Thomas.
Well, what are you saying there? He's not getting enough work?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh. I'm saying it's garbage. The next time I see Corey Dillon, I'm going to puke.
Wow. Whoa. Have you told him that?
I'm not afraid of him. So he'll beat me up. Big
it.
Deal. I've taken one to the face before. I don't care. He'll break it up.
Well, have you written this there?
Well, we all think that
I said it on the TV show. They won't allow me to write.
I've
for
written
some
it.
Reason, you
I've
can say it. What you can say what you want, but you can't write what you want.
I've written it 2 weeks. I wrote it 2 weeks in a row that Maroney's the guy. He's the guy. I love Corey Dillon. It's great to have him on the team. He served a purpose early to make sure that Maroney didn't get too much work in his rookie season. But now we're already in week 12 or 14 or whatever it is.
13.
And there's no fear of Maroney hitting the rookie wall. And Maroney's the guy. He's the guy. Put Dillon in there once in a while, goal line, whatever. But Maroney is your guy. I want to get the ball in his hands as often as possible. Because the more you do, the more good things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. Alex in Somerville, what the hell is wrong with all the whiners? He says, you guys are all different except for Paul. I agree with Tom Perillo.
Yeah,
this is what makes the show interesting. If you were the same as Rook, there'd be no point in having two shows. With that said, I have a gripe. Tom, there is no S added on the end of where. For example, somewhere in New England, there is someone who likes the weather. Tom's version. Somewheres in New England, there is someone who likes... Well, what?
I don't give a damn.
Now we're getting grammar lessons from our emailers? Oh, my goodness.
God, if you want to start talking about things, I'll start talking about how the way you people drive, your stupid laws, your stupid rules, everything in this state sucks.
Ben in Vermont says, if you won't podcast the playbook, will you at least make the audio available to stream on demand like you do for the press conferences? Sorry, guys, but John Rook's show is just as good as PFW in Progress. There is less BS in his show than yours. I love your show, but talking about vacuums, your lunch, and Dancing with the Stars is just boring.
Then stop listening.
And Gary, don't be afraid to play the boring audio clip a little more often.
Boring!
Listen, I've already gotten one guy to stop listening to the show, Joey Feet from Florida, so I'm telling you the same thing. Stop listening to the show. I don't care. My paycheck's still going to come in every week,
well,
signed by Robert Jonathan Kraft.
That, Tom.
So whatever. Don't listen. Who cares? We don't need you.
Tom, you're really getting him going. John in Grand Junction, Colorado. Generally, I like the show. However, being a pompous jerk, insulting your audience, and demeaning your emailers is generally not considered good business practice. If you insist on offering the consumers of your product the my way or the highway approach, your audience and both you and your sponsors are going to shrink fast.
Look at that douchebag. This is put on for free, and it will continue to do so, whether you listen to it or not.
He says, I won't hear your response. He spells here, H-E-R-E, as my mouse has already clicked you off.
Good.
Well, they're just out after us here. Boy, Tom.
I'm trying to get rid of the idiot fans. I only want intelligent fans listening to this show.
You know what?
They'll
be back.
I know Joey Feeps listening somewhere. That's probably him right there,
under an
assumed name.
Let's see.
Hey, how you doing?
PJ writes in, Fred and Tom, you guys are great together. First of all, I want to put my vote in for John Rook on the podcast. I don't know if you guys heard the first hour of the show yesterday, but Tom, if you did, I'm sure you were going nuts. Paul and Andy spent 15 minutes talking about what vacuums they want to buy for their wives for Christmas.
Those losers.
Anyway, when are Harrison...
I was sick of it because it sucked.
When are Harrison and the rest of the walking wounded in the secondary due to be back? The players will start today. Who would you say would be in the Super Bowl? And hey, tout, that Nebraska versus Oklahoma game will be played in freezing cold weather, just like the old days. I'm looking forward to it. Go Big Red. All right. Harrison.
Well, first I have to offer my apologies that they had to listen to Paul and Andy for a whole hour.
Oh, yeah, that alone. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. I mean, you know.
Harrison, hopefully for the playoffs. I don't think he'll be ready any time before that, really.
Yeah. I mean, Belichick says he's doing better.
I think he gets a game.
You
a
think
game
so?
Or two in the season, yeah.
He gets in here against Jacksonville, maybe?
I think so.
It would make sense. If he's got a play in the playoffs, you want to get him a little tune-up.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy might be walking around with one arm, one leg. Nobody knows. He's day-to-day.
I just see Harrison as being one of those guys that, by whatever means necessary, whatever drug, illegal, legal, whatever it takes, he's getting in that ball game. And a knee may keep him out, but no shoulder's going to keep him out of the playoff game.
I'm not touching the illegal drug thing. But.
Oh, my God, hot rod.
Well, you would think that if they knew he wasn't going to be, you know, ready sooner than the playoffs, they'd probably put him on IR to open up the spot.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so I guess he's got a decent chance. What about Eugene Wilson, though? What's going
That's
on?
That's one
with
of
him?
Those ones where every week I don't think he's going to play now, because it's every week we talk about it. Well, yeah, he might be back, and he's not. He's always inactive, so I just assume he's not playing.
When he does come back, does he come back in a safety spot, or they'd use him as a dime or nickel corner?
I mean, well, is Harrison playing?
If
Harrison's playing, I'm going Harrison and Hawkins.
Same.
Okay.
So then you can use him as a corner, and
he comes in off the bench.
Throw Ellis Hobbs on the bench.
Throw Hobbs on the bench, okay.
Well, not unless you want to.
Well, you would have
a lot of
you
yards.
Would have Wilson as a number two corner.
No, I'm talking Chad Scott and Samuel.
Oh, you'd have Scott and Samuel starting.
Yeah.
Hobbs coming off the bench. Okay, that's some depth.
That's good depth.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then also his. Who do you think would be in the Super Bowl if the players would start today?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Dallas and San Diego.
Yeah, maybe Dallas the way they're playing, but I wouldn't rule out the Bears. I think Bears defense can get them to the Super Bowl. It won't win it.
Well, the problem you're going to have in the NFC is you're going to have a bunch of untested quarterbacks in the playoffs, and that leads to upsets. Because who's to say Tony Romo is going to have 120 quarterback rating in the playoffs? We all saw what Grossman can do, you know, when he's under fire in a big game. So you don't have your Bradys and your Mannings. It's going to be tough.
I'm looking for Grossman to have a bad game soon. They're just getting too cocky down there in Dallas.
You mean Romo?
I mean Romo.
Looking for Grossman to have a bad game, I can replay the Patriots game.
I mean Romo. I think he's due. He's due for a 4 or 5 pick game.
All right.
Tom's getting mad now.
I'm not. Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's not as good as he's shown over 5 games, and people got him in the Hall of Fame already. I'll tell you why. After I see him play 20, 30 games, I'll give you my opinion of him.
You don't need to do that. I think you can tell who a quarterback is by watching a fairly short snapshot. I really believe
that.
You
mean like when Mark Rippon won the MVP? How does his career turn out?
That was before I started covering the league. But, I mean, just call me nuts. I mean, I watched Philip Rivers in the preseason, and I saw the way he stood in the pocket. I saw his size. I saw the way he looked around the field. And I said,
oh, then you think Jeff George is a good quarterback.
No, because he never did those things. He never looked around
the field. That's a different type of thing, though. I mean, Christ, we saw Philip Rivers play 10 years in college, and, you know, we know Philip Rivers. Tony Romo is an unknown commodity. Unless you're following Eastern Illinois, I'm not. So what I'm saying is we know very little about this guy. I mean, he was undrafted. Does he look like he can play? Yes.
Quarterback, to me, you can get the quickest snapshot. I felt Eli Manning, and it seems like I'm usually right on it. I don't know, maybe it's the one thing I can just see, but I thought Eli Manning overrated because I saw how...
I agreed with that.
I saw how he got most of his success. He throws it up. Sometimes Plexico goes and gets it. Sometimes he doesn't. But I don't see a guy who's methodical, who's accurate, who picks defenses apart. I see a guy who slings it up there, and sometimes the guy gets it. Sometimes he doesn't.
He doesn't look as smart as his brother.
Same with Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
I saw just the opposite from Carson Palmer. He's a guy, if you call a three-step drop, third step, bang, balls out. He takes short throws. He takes the underneath stuff. I thought that guy was going to be a player. I think the same thing of Philip Rivers. Tony Romo, I'm a little less certain of. I think he is a little bit more of that riverboat gambler and a little guy who will run around.
That's what I'm saying. I want to see, like, this game against the Giants is a big game. Like, if he can go in there and play well, then I'll start believing a little more. I mean, I know he played well against the Colts, but it's just...
Well, we were talking about Jeff Lewis
yesterday. Cowboy fans got him in the Ring of Honor already.
I was convinced Jeff Lewis was the heir apparent to John Elway.
I love Jeff Lewis.
I thought he looked great, and he just didn't do it for whatever reason. See, I think there's a mental aspect that guys... They either get over that hurdle or they don't. And that, the ability to slow down the game in your mind and see the field. Some guys have it, some don't.
And you can see it, I think, pretty early. Do they look around the field? Do they go short consistently? Are they accurate with their short ball consistently? And those are things I think that, I don't know. I don't know many guys who just sort of came into that late in the game. I think you either have it or you don't. You either, you know, you play smart or you don't.
Well, what about a guy like Rich Gannon? I mean, he had late success, really, in his career.
There's some guys like Jim Plunkett. There's some guys like that.
He played on an awful Patriots team.
Plunkett was the same guy. He just got surrounded by a better team. And
he got his ass kicked here. He couldn't wait to get out of this team. He was just getting killed physically, you know. But I don't know. It's a tough position, quarterback. It's probably mentally and physically the toughest position in sports, I would think. No? Anyone else? No.
All I'm going to say, if Romo's this good, Parcells should be fired at the end of the season.
Well, now this is a question I want to ask both of you. Tom, you might, because you're keyed into the Cowboys. Who wanted Bledsoe and who wanted Romo between Jerry Jones and Parcells?
Jerry Jones.
I still don't know.
All right. Well, publicly, everything Jerry Jones said is that if we're going to be what we can possibly be this year, it's got to be Drew, and that's what he said from day one. And I think Parcells didn't want to go with Romo early because he thought Bledsoe would quit on him. I really do think that.
Okay.
And I can tell you that whatever the wrong decision was, Jerry Jones was on that side of it.
Okay.
So he must have wanted Bledsoe because everything that guy does and thinks is wrong.
Because wasn't it a couple years ago that Jones was the one he wanted to – what? Maybe it was
Eddie,
Drew Henson.
It was Eddie George was one of them.
No, quarterback. He wanted to get a young guy. Was it Drew Henson?
It was Henson.
He wanted him out in the field. Was Romo on the team at the time?
Yeah, he was there.
And so Jerry Jones wasn't talking about getting Romo on
the
field.
No, it was Henson. He handpicked Drew Henson.
Okay.
The Parcells had nothing to do with that one.
All right, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of. So Parcells is the Romo guy. Good for him.
I just think when you saw Drew Bledsoe in that Eagles game, that should have been the last game of his professional career. To wait two more games to make the change is embarrassing.
See, what confused me on this whole thing and why I thought maybe it was Jones that wanted Romo was because remember that game where Bledsoe got pulled? Jones came down from his box in the second quarter, and then they pulled Bledsoe.
Yeah, but you know what? Jones is down from his box all the time. The cameras just pick him up whenever they feel like it.
Okay.
His big nose is all over the place.
All right.
It's actually been surgically enhanced.
Oh, my God.
Reduced, whatever.
Mike in Vermont, what's the deal with Chad Jackson? I heard that prior to the draft, he was sent a portion of the playbook to look over for 2 weeks and was then brought into Gillette Stadium where he was quizzed on it and aced it. I believe that Scott Pioli and Bill Belichick based their decision to draft him on his ability to comprehend the offense. Is there something we all don't know? Wouldn't it make sense to give him more playing time to gain that much-needed experience and confidence? I know he has been used as a blocker, but some short passing plays may be what he needs to get experience. He may just break one on a 10-yard slant? Does he not run the correct routes or pick up Tom Brady's audible? What do you think?
Both. Let me just say something. He aced the test. I went to college. I got a 3.9 GPA. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I don't even think I could name 20 states. So that's how much stock I put into him acing a test.
And also, here, why I'm dubious is because we know about it. You know, they let us know that we gave him this test, and he did well on this test. And as soon as they let
you... Because they're always telling you that kind of information.
Absolutely. As soon as they let you know something like that, well, then, you know, you got to know... Something's up there, maybe
so
on the opposite side.
That was to dispel the rumors out that he wasn't picking things up.
And before, I told you like what he looks like in the locker room physically. I mean, he looks the part. He looks like he should be a dominant NFL receiver. I will say that my guess is intelligence is probably not his strength.
And I'll say that, you know, stupid me, you know, I was just bragging about knowing if a quarterback can play or not. I mean, stupid me, I came out of those rookie mini camps saying, this kid's going to be, has a chance to be Deion Branch.
Well, we all did.
Because I thought, and it wasn't just the physical thing that
no one was covering him,
that
man,
Tom's talking about. Well, but you know what? I thought I saw him run routes. I mean, I really did. I thought I saw him cut. I thought I saw him go across the field, not just down the field. I thought I saw him do all those things that Branch did from day one, and he was bigger and faster. I said, whoa, this guy could be special. Well, since the real game started, I haven't seen him run sideways hardly once.
Well, I think he had everybody fooled, not just the guys like us looking from the outside in. I think inside they thought that this guy would, you know, talking, he'll be a number two by midseason. They thought he was going to be a number one by midseason. A lot of guys on the inside thought that. They were very, and so I think he surprised a lot of people. The hamstring injury didn't help, but I think there's more to it.
Oh, there is a whole off-field maturity component to it that is, they don't miss on typically. I mean, they often get that part right.
And maybe other teams had something the Pages didn't, and that's why he slipped.
Well,
Fred,
just so you know, there's a page on your desk right now waiting to be edited. Just keep in mind that I was going to do a story on Steven Gostkowski, but he didn't talk this week, so I had to scramble and come up with something quick. Just remember that when you're reading it.
Okay. So it's
after this discussion.
So it's not your best effort? Is that what you're saying?
I'll just say that it's a facade.
Is what it is?
Okay.
I got numbers to back it up, but I don't believe one damn thing that I said.
Clovis says, I like you guys, all the bashing that we're getting today. I'll keep listening as long as you keep talking. I think the Pats win in Indy if the playoffs come to that matchup. That would be satisfying, to say the least. Yes, it would be. I think the Patriots have a chance against anybody, and they also have a chance to lose against them. You know, it's one of those seasons. There's no dominant team.
Well, I think I think there are teams that are better than them. I think it's a season like 2001 where they have a chance to win it all, but things have to break their way. It's not 2003, 2004 where they're going to beat anybody.
Oh, I don't think – you really think we're back to 2001 where all those things broke their way and that's why they won, which I'll admit is true.
I mean, it's part of it if John Hall doesn't make that 52-yarder.
No, that's why I don't think this is anywhere near 2001. I think the defense is better, I think the offense is better.
I'm not saying they're better than they were in 2001. I'm talking about them in relation to other teams and how they're going to win it. They won it in 2003 with a first-round bye, home divisional game, that sort of thing. And I think that they could have beaten anyone at any week at any time in 2003 and 2004. This year, if they play a wild card game and it's tough and then they have to travel to San Diego, I don't love their chances. Or if they travel to, Denver, I don't love their chances. I think that they need to get the right sort of matchup. And I'm not saying... You know, there's only one or two things I wouldn't like them, one or two situations I wouldn't like them in. But in 2003 and 2004, they could have played any AFC team, any stadium, any week, and they would have won. That's not the case this year.
Well, I think they can beat any team this year in the NFL. I think, you know, now the problem you can say, well, they haven't really played their best against the best teams, but that's sort of a pattern so far. So that, you know, you can't say all of a sudden they're going to get to the playoffs and turn it around and have no turnovers and play a perfect game and beat the Colts. They do have to have improvement, but I think there's a potential for them to win anywhere in any given week. I really do. I think they're good enough. And I also, having said that, I think the competition this year, the NFL's down a little bit. I don't think, you know, teams are that spectacular this year.
I disagree. I think San Diego is a great coach away from being spectacular.
Well, but. That's saying a lot. Until they have that coach, we're talking about right now. Marty Schottenheimer could be the reason why they don't win a Super Bowl. I don't know. Let's see. PJ says, wow, I don't like that you were mean to the emailers. Wow. The Patriots only beat the Bears by 4 points. The Pats only won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. All these guys do is cry. Forget these select few losers who want to complain all the time. Keep up the good work.
See, PJ, one of our best emailers.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
First round draft pick in 2004, to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
You can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from New Orleans Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed and helmet limited to your first 100 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
And it's 3-2, and it is the Mike Felger Show here on 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday, live at Gillette Stadium as we are each and every Friday. Let's kick off the guest portion of the program with our good buddy Troy Brown, Patriots receiver and defensive back and punt returner. It's funny, Troy, I was just going over this before about all your losses since 2001. You know, that's sort of like the modern era of the, you know, championship era Patriots, obviously. And just going through all your losses, hit that red button, make sure you're on there. You on there? Say hello.
You on now.
Yeah, all right. Going through all the losses,
And I'm trying to find the trap losses, the games where you were really supposed to win and you didn't. And I've come up with maybe three, maybe. I mean, I think this Jets loss last month, maybe the only clear example of a game that everyone thought you were going to win and you didn't. Maybe San Diego week four in 02 when you went out there with a 3-0 record and you guys were flying and you got beat by the Chargers. But it turned out you weren't that good of a team that year. And in hindsight, that doesn't seem like such a bad loss. But why is this team so good taking care of business against teams they should beat?
Oh, we should beat all of them. We should win against all of them. But and Detroit's not that bad of a football team. I mean, the record shows it's something different than what we've seen on tape. And what we've seen on tape is a team that's lost six games by 7 points or less. And to me, they're just a step away from being a really good football team when you can you lose that amount. That's the one good thing about losing that amount of games, that amount of games by such few points is – you know you're really close, and you just got to turn the corner. I just hope it's not this week they turn the corner against us. But, you know, and I just think that we realize we take every opponent seriously, no matter what the record is, that these guys are professional athletes, and they're professional teams. They're game planning and working hard during the week also, and we got to be ready for all of them.
Yeah, I would say that it's a respect factor. You respect every opponent.
Yeah, you have to.
But some teams don't treat it like that.
Some teams don't. They take it like a week off.
Right.
And that's not the case. This is professional sports, and these guys are—they're getting paid too, and they take their job serious also. And you know, and for the most part, I think we've done a good job of being ready for every opponent we've had, no matter what the record has, what the record says.
It's something about the culture here, I think.
And we lost to the a couple years ago to two and.
Well, Miami. Okay, yeah, again, here are the ones that I think may have been trap losses. San Diego in 02, maybe.
Well, they were pretty good at the time, though.
They were okay. They were not a playoff team that year, but they did finish.
They were 3-0, 4-0, we went out there or something, I believe.
Oh, at that time, yeah, I guess they were. You're right on that. In 02, you lost to San Diego, Miami, Green Bay, Denver, Oakland, Tennessee, and the Jets. All of them were above 500. Oakland made the Super Bowl. Tennessee, the Jets, Green Bay won their division. So all those losses, again, are hard to say. You said San Diego undefeated at the time. Hard to say that was a trap loss. In 03, opening day at Buffalo, extenuating circumstances, the Lori Malloy game. I don't think that was a trap game. Week 4 at Washington, okay, maybe. Maybe you guys should have won that game. Trap loss. 04, you mentioned Miami. They have two wins at the time, Monday night. Maybe a trap loss. This Jets game again last month. In 6 years, I'm counting three trap losses, maybe. That's pretty good. Does Bill Belichick put mousetraps around the locker room?
No, Parcells did it 1 year. I think it was maybe '96 season, I believe. He put the mousetraps all over the place. I think it was the Jets, too.
Yes, that's right.
So he put up mousetraps all around the building. So it was pretty. He painted them green. So it was pretty good.
It's Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday. And certainly coming off of one of the reasons I think you're good in these kind of games, again, it's a culture thing, and you were back in pads on Wednesday. From what everything we hear, Bill Belichick gave you a pretty tough speech to open up this week and was pretty hard on you in the locker room even after the Bears game. So it's like the throttle is still laid down even after a pretty big win over the Chicago Bears, yes?
Yeah, I mean, he keeps the hammer down on you. You know, we come off a big win against Chicago, but you have to look at it, you know. And the reason why we won that game because we played a little bit better than they did and they played worse than we did. I mean, they gave us four of our turnovers back, and we blocked the kick and tipped the punt and put us in good field position. So, I mean, we kind of evened out the table on the turnovers, but we didn't play great. And that's the bottom line. You look at it for what it is. We won the game, but, you know, any other circumstances against any other team, even against Detroit at 2 and whatever they are, you go in and turn the ball over five times and don't get any, you're probably going to lose the game.
A lot of people sort of gave you a break on the Bears turnovers because the Bears are such a great ball-hawking team and such a fast team and so talented on that side of the ball. And I looked at it and said, well, no, you know, you shouldn't do that because if you play Baltimore, you play Denver, you play any of these games in the playoffs, they're going to be trying to do the same thing. You got to take care of the ball against good teams. That's the name of the game.
That's the name of it, you know. And we knew going into the game that this team was leading the league in turnovers, and we still turned it over to them. But, you know, and it wasn't just I think it was just a lack of concentration, just carelessness on our part, and just not having enough concern about taking care of the ball. And they did a good job, give them credit, too. They did a good job of getting it out and key situations, too, coming down the stretch that they got it out again and had a chance to go down and, you know, possibly win the game.
Was that the hardest hitting game you've played in this year?
It was pretty physical. And, you know, Miami's always physical, but, you know, you see a lot of good shots in a lot of games. But this particular game, it was you know, quite a few going on out there. And it was, you know, you can hear them from a mile away, too.
Do you think it was important for this team, Troy Brown, to win a game like that? What I mean by that is against a, you know, widely regarded and accepted elite team in the league. You know, lost to Denver, lost to Indy. Another big game against an elite team on national TV at home. Do you feel you had to almost prove to yourself that you could win those kind of games?
No, I don't think we had to prove to ourselves or anybody else. We just had to go out there and just play better than what we've been playing. And like I said, we didn't really do that. They just played worse than we did. So it was kind of satisfying that we kind of outlasted them and kind of made a few more plays than they made. But it was still a little disappointing to see that we didn't really perform where we should have offensively and where special teams were okay. But, you know, just turning the ball over the way we did was just very disappointing. But, you know, you are talking about, you know, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC, and you walk away with the win. You know, it's kind of satisfying when you look at it from that point.
Do you think you were lacking in those kind of wins? I mean, do you look at it that way?
No, because it's again, we respect every team we go up against, and I mean these guys out there trying hard. Most of these teams are trying hard. You're going to tell a few teams that may not care so much about their season once they get to a certain point of losing, but you know, and like you take a Detroit, they've shown they care. They're going to try to fight to the end in every game, and that's why they're losing these games by 7 points. They're fighting, but they're just a hair away from turning the corner. I mean, just make a few more plays here and there, and you know, it can easily be, you know, instead of 2-9, it could be 9-2 easily. I mean, you look at some of the games they've been in, and they can easily turn their season around. But you know, we go out there, we just respect everybody that we go out against, and that's what really matters to us the most.
Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN. Would seem like the passing game, Troy, is getting in a little bit of rhythm. It's maybe the first time this year you put together back-to-back games where Tom really looked comfortable and plays were being made in the passing game on a consistent basis, Green Bay, Chicago, back-to-back. Do you feel like, you know, you're at a point where you haven't been yet this year?
Well, like, it's still a work in progress, you know, And right now, you know, and it's kind of getting a little old saying that because we're going into December now, and it's time to be, you know, saying we still building, we still getting better. But, you know, we're hitting on all cylinders right now. We're looking good, and we're building, we're confident. And it should, at this point in December, we should be not saying we're still getting comfortable with each other. You know, it's crunch time now, you know, and it's time to turn it up, pick it up a notch.
But you are. But it is still a learning thing with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're always trying to learn. I mean, we're always trying to build and get better each week after week, and you build through that. But, you know, it's at that point now in this season where you got to say, you know, it's now that you got to put it together and be consistent week after week.
Tell me about Rashay Caldwell. What has he done to I think he's flashed here. You know, I think he's sort of established.
He's just continued to work the whole time he's been here. He continued to work, and, you know, Tom's been talking to him. He's been giving Tom some feedback, and we know the things that he likes to do and things that he can do well, and he's been catching the ball.
What does he do well, do you think, specifically?
I think he's a good route runner. I think he's a pretty good route runner. You know, and lately he's been catching the ball pretty darn good and making some plays after the catch. And that's what's been pretty impressive about him, you know, the last few weeks.
Where's Doug Gabriel been the last couple of weeks?
How's he been?
Where's he been? Where?
Yeah, he hadn't got any balls thrown as well.
No, he hasn't.
You know, so, but you know, I expect him to, you know, be strong. We got some time left for him to get back out there and be strong for us and make some plays. And you know, so he's one of those guys that's gonna have to help us, you know, coming down the stretch.
I mean, a lot of people look at the last time he touched the ball, he fumbled it. I just find it hard to believe that Bill would hold one fumble against a guy like that. I just, it can't be it, can it, Troy? One fumble, and all of a sudden you don't see the ball for 2-plus games?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, I caught one ball last week, you know, so it just happens like that sometimes, you know, where you just, I mean, you might be hot one week, and next week, you know, here, you know, you're not that guy, you know, so they find something else to be hot. Rishay's, you know, been the hot guy, and, you know, and Ben, and those guys have been making a lot of plays for us. So you can just kind of, you know, hold your own and keep working hard, and maybe get some balls thrown your way the next week.
Let me ask about another guy a lot of people are curious about. I'm sorry to put you on your spot about your teammates, but got to do it.
Yeah. It's part of dealing with the media.
There you go. Got to deal with us. Chad Jackson, someone we had such high hopes for, and it just seems like hasn't been able to get it going for one reason or another. His, you know, had a chance to make a big play last week. Disappointingly, he did not. Now he's got another little ding. What's happened to this guy this year?
There's been a lot of ups and downs for him. And you know, and as a young player, it can be tough to deal with sometimes when, you know, you got a lot of pressure on you to go out and do certain things, people expecting you to do certain things. And And then you have to battle the whole injury thing, and then you got to battle the whole media thing, and this and that being said, and it could be a lot of pressure on young players. But, you know, he's another guy that I think can help us, and he's shown flashes of helping us, and, you know, hopefully, you know, he can get his body back together and his mind back together and come out there and help us win some football games down the stretch, too, to set us up and put us in good position, you know, by the end of December.
What is it about rookie receivers in the NFL? It's just that there's a, you know, the Colston kid down in New Orleans is such the aberration, or Anquan Boldin when he had his big rookie year. But the vast majority, even guys picked up way high, the first year is a wash. Why is it so hard at that position to come in and have an immediate impact?
There's a lot of things that go into playing receiver. You know, you got to learn a new quarterback, new systems, and you got these good defensive backs you're going against, and all kinds of route adjustments you got to go through, and it's a lot of things that they have to learn and do different than what you did in college. A lot of these college teams just go out there and they tell you to run a post, and you run a post. You run a comeback, you run a comeback. But here, you know, you got different reads, certain, you know, if it's two high safeties, single high safeties, it's press, and, you know, you got different routes you got to run on the same play. One play is called, but you got different routes you got to run against it.
And no college
does
that.
It's a lot of thinking, and you're probably thinking more than playing. And so that's probably, you know, goes into what you see a lot out of a lot of these, you know, rookie receivers. But then it's somebody that's doing really well also.
And no colleges really do that because, I mean, one is...
And it's a 16-game season, too.
Right.
You know, it's a long, long time.
And colleges limit the amount of time you can practice, the amount of time you can meet.
You got 10 days of 2-days. Here you got 6 weeks, possibly,
right,
you know, of 2-days. And it's just a long, long, long season, man. Off season you got to go through. And they're probably not used to that. It's a long time, man. It takes your body to get adjusted to going through a 16-week season. I was lucky. I played in 1AA, so we had 15 games.
And you had a playoff.
And we had the playoffs, so, yep.
There
so
you go.
It worked out.
Troy, I know you hate the artificial turf. I just got to ask you this real quick. It seemed to me like it helped you guys last week. It really does.
I've said it before. I mean, whether it helped us or not, both teams are playing on the same surface. So, I mean, I would never use it as an excuse of why we play better or play worse because of the condition of the field. I mean, both teams got to play on it, and, you know, you just got to learn how to, you know, play with your feet up under you when you're on bad surfaces, when it's slick, when it's holes, potholes, and you adjust to it throughout the course of the game. And the team that does that the best, that can make the adjustments the best, the teams are probably going to win. Same thing about adjusting your defenses, adjusting your offensive calls, and making the plays. It just goes into playing on the field, too. So, I mean, you know, saying it helped us or not, you know, I can't really say that.
Okay, Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, defensive back. Thanks for coming by. As always, good luck on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Troy, we'll catch you next week. Troy Brown Show every Tuesday at 7 o'clock on 890 ESPN.